Yes, we're changing it up a little bit. I don't often contact Lowell or find out who the worship leader is. But as I was preparing, I felt the need to reach out and ask Lowell, and he said, yeah, he's on. I don't know if Lowell was going to share this, but yesterday at about 10 o'clock in the morning, he had just sat down to open his songbook to find out what songs to sing. And he picked a couple and wasn't sure, and he just kind of prayed, God, give me some direction. 5 minutes later, I texted him, and I said, it's on thankfulness, which is not typically something I do, and yet God, again, worked and provided for us. And when I said thankfulness, Lowell responded right away back, said, hey, can we worship after the message? Because that would be a great response to thankfulness. And I said, absolutely. So that's kind of the reason for the change up this morning. You may turn with me to Psalms 95. Psalms chapter 95. A decent amount of scripture this morning, and I'll be asking you to turn with me to it. If it works, I do have a PowerPoint. We'll see what happens with that for one of the scriptures towards the end. But for the beginning, we'll begin reading together in Psalms 95. And the words that I want you to look for is thanksgiving and thankfulness. These are the words that we're going to key in on. Many times we've read these passages, and maybe some of these are actually to memory in our hearts. And yet I'm afraid that many times we've missed the key verses of looking at being thankful. Psalm 95 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You can turn with me to Psalm chapter 100 a few pages later, Psalms 100. But again, in Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. It is something that I believe we're called to. I believe it's a requirement to come before God with thanksgiving. I shared a message of thanksgiving several years ago, and it was one of the most impactful to me personally, to filter my life and my interaction and my prayers through the filter of being thankful. It's huge. Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Again and again, it says from verse 2 and 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. When we come before God, the first thing on our lips is to be thanksgiving. In verse 4 of chapter 100, it says, enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. And the title of the message this morning is, the sacrifice of thankfulness. The sacrifice of thankfulness. We are called to be thankful. I believe we are required to be thankful. And thankfulness is not an option for Christians. You see, our culture requires that there would be an act of kindness, that immediately precedes our ability to be thankful. And this thought and process does not hold up in Scripture. You see, God is so good. God is so gracious, and he was so gracious, along with so many more attributes that are holy, all present and all still from the past, never changing. That long before we ever had breath, God was holy. And we have no reason or excuse not to be thankful with every remaining breath that we have. And again, this sermon that I preached before changed me. And I didn't go back to my archives and I didn't pull up my notes. I began a new look. So I don't know what I spoke on before on thankfulness, but I began anew. And I believe true thankfulness will change you as well. And we're going to talk about that soon. We're going to talk about how thankfulness changes you, and there's some positive side effects. But first, let's establish that thankfulness is a biblical requirement. It's a biblical requirement to be thankful. You can turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. This is under the heading of the character of a new man. In my Bible, there's headings of it. And so this is kind of a definition of the new man. Who are you, or who you are to be in Christ as a new creation? This is kind of that definition, the character of a new man. In 1 Colossians 3, 12 through 17, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." There's a semicolon in the middle of that, towards the end of that sentence. In verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." And there's a semicolon, and it says, "Be thankful." Now, what does a semicolon? So Webster says a semicolon is a punctuation mark used chiefly in coordinating function between major sentence elements, such as an independent clause of a compound sentence. I always understood that a semicolon denotes two things that could stand separately. I don't know. That's what I recall being told in school. Two things that are able to stand by themselves. You put a semicolon in the middle of those. And so, again, based on those English definition of semicolon, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I'm sorry, but it bodes well with this message to say that in verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and of equal importance, and be thankful." It's a requirement. And those verses continue on in verse 16 of Colossians 3. And it says, "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And again, these are very familiar verses, and yet we are called to be thankful, to give thanks. You can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you ever see that before? The will of God is not a big deal. Here it is. Here's your little nutshell of the will of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you. The problem comes when we try to tie God's will to where we want to work, or where we want to live, or who we want to marry, or what car to buy. God cuts to the chase and says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God. And then we often complain to God, and we say, I just want to do your will. God, just show me, you know, who I should date. Please tell me if I should take that job. Should I move or should I stay here, God? We beg and sometimes scream and cry for God to tell us exactly what to do, and 99% of the time he's quiet. Because he did tell us exactly what to do. We just don't want to do it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. Did you notice he put for you? He didn't have to do that. I think he knew that we always want to know what his will is. There's something in us that wants to know that. And yet here it is, so very plainly. It very much reminds me of Naaman. Do you remember that story? 2 Kings 5. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. And Naaman was a bully that came and beat up on Israel. And Naaman took captive a little girl from the Israelites. And Naaman's had this little girl in his house as a captive. And Naaman got leprosy. And this little girl who was taken away said, hey, there's a guy in Israel that can heal you. There's a prophet that can heal you. And so Naaman went to his king, the king of Syria, and king of Syria sent the king of Israel this note with a whole bunch of gifts and said, hey, you guys got to heal my captain of the army, Naaman. Well, the king of Israel was distressed. Oh my goodness, how am I going to heal this guy from leprosy? He thought it was an instigation. Like if he couldn't heal him, they were going to destroy him. And so he tore his clothes, and Elisha heard about that. And in verse 8 of chapter 5 2 Kings chapter 5, picking up in verse 8. And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him, speaking of Naaman, come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abonana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went his way in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And so he, Naaman, went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleaned. And so many times this morning, it feels like even I want God to do something grand when it comes to his will for my life. And yet, I pray that we're not stubborn like Naaman. When God says this is the will of God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. It's far too simple for us to do. You see, being thankful pleases God. I know you want to please God. And most of us do. And so again, this is one of the things that please God. It's being thankful. You can turn to Psalm 69. In Psalms 69, verses 30 and 32. Psalm 69, verse 30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall also please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns or hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your hearts shall live. Again, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. In this verse, we see that the sacrifice of a thankful heart is better than the sacrifice of an ox or a bull. Now, I had to do some research yesterday. And so, what is the sacrifice of an ox or a bull? And typically, that sacrifice of an ox or a bull had to do with atonement for sin. And in my research, it's somewhere in here. There are several different charts you can look online. One of these is from the Holman Bible Publishers, and one of these is unnamed, but there are potentially 5 or 6 different sacrifices that the Old Testament Jews were required to perform. The first one is pretty universal, the burnt offering. And then, which is for the propitiation of sin, and then there's a sin offering, which is for specific transgressions, and then there's a trespass offering, and these are all offerings that would be killed, and blood was spilled, and different portions. Some of the meat was eaten, and some was not, depending on what offering and what it was for. And then there's peace offering, and underneath the peace offering, there's a thank offering, and a votive offering, and a freewill offering. But if you would surmise these 5 or 6 offerings, 3 have to do with atonement, and 2 have to do with being thankful. That they were required to give sacrifice to be thankful. They were required to be thankful. In my study, it was interesting, the burnt offering. I didn't understand this before. The burnt offering is typically an ox or a bull. The burnt offering is skinned, the hide given to the priest. The entire bull or ox is laid on the altar and burned continually, every morning and every night. It's to propitiate for sin in general. It's a means of approach by unholy people to a holy God. That there would always be the smell of a roast. If you've ever burned beef in a fire, it doesn't smell bad. The smell, the aroma, which is a sweet-smelling aroma to God, is that ox or that bull burning every morning and every night continually before God. Nothing was eaten of that animal. That allowed the children of Israel to come into the presence of God. And then there was sin offering, which was for specific transgressions, and it goes on. So now we read Psalms 69 again, verse 30, and it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also pleases the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. Ladies and gentlemen, your sacrifice of praise smells better than roasting beef to God Almighty. And in these verses, we get a sneak peek into how a thankful heart can change you from the inside out. And again, if we look at Psalm 69 in the progression of these verses, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also pleases the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. You who seek God, your hearts shall live. And from those verses, I noticed that the attribute of humble was kind of included there. And so I pondered that. And I believe that humbleness is a byproduct of thankfulness. You can try and disagree with me, but that's kind of my conclusion. Humbleness is a byproduct of thankfulness. So if that's so, then one of the opposites of being humble is pride. So go ahead and try to be prideful while you're thankful. Doesn't really work, does that? Can you be prideful while you're thankful? I don't believe you can at the same time. You see, a thankful heart evaporates a prideful heart. It dissipates. A thankful heart produces a humble heart. A thankful heart is a complete cure for number 10 of the Ten Commandments. If you don't know what the 10th commandment is, you can turn with me to Exodus 17. A thankful heart is the complete cure for commandment number 10. Exodus 20, verse 17. Number 10 of the Ten Commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Being thankful is the cure to the keeping up with the Joneses syndrome that America struggles with. Do you want to be healed of your sin of number 10 on the Ten Commandments? Be thankful for what you have. It doesn't matter what you have. You can always, always, always be thankful. Thankfulness is the cure for covetousness. It's the cure. It fixes it. Do we have a PowerPoint this morning? Possibly. We do. Psalms 107:1. Do we have it? Are you going to flip through it quickly as we read it? Okay. So I was going to try something different, but I guess we won't this morning. We'll just read through it. So follow along with me. Psalm 107. I would like you to stand for the reading of this word. Psalms 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the south, north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their darkness. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bonds and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted, and their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens and they go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. You may be seated. Of all the examples that we gave, whether we're in famine or in war or at sea or wherever we are in our travels, when men called out to God, God heard them. And what was God's desired response for those that he saved? God's desired response for those that he saved. This is God's desired response. It's repeated four times. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We're supposed to give thanks to God, and we're supposed to tell our children. That's what we do. Four times in Psalms 107. when God saves you from something, you are to give thanks to God and tell some children, your children or somebody's children. When God saves you, you are to give thanks to God and tell a child. This is what God expects. Heavily, I might say require. Easily, I could say wants. This is what God wants in response to saving you from your affliction, whether it be in your body or your spirit or whatever it is. When God saves you in ways that you can, all of these things that were listed appeared to be physical ways. And when God moves and saves you in physical ways, your response is to give thanks to God for his goodness and to declare his wonderful works to the children of men. We are called, God is calling us to be thankful to him verbally and to be thankful about him verbally to our children. He says it four times. And I wrote, read it, believe it, do it. And if this, again, is not enough reason for you to be thankful, here's a stern warning from Scripture. It's found in Romans 1, 18 to 22. You may turn there this morning. Romans 1, 18. Romans 1:18 is talking about, in my heading in my Bible, calls it God's wrath on unrighteousness. God's wrath on unrighteousness. Starting in verse 18 of Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Brothers and sisters, that's huge. God says in his creation, you can see him. You can see God even if you don't or haven't believed in your heart. When you look at a sunset, someone mentioned that this morning. When you watch a sunrise, when you see the birds, God attests to his power. And it says even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because although they knew God and they knew the sunset and the bird had to be from some greater, they knew God. They did not glorify him as God. And it says, nor were thankful. Having a thankful heart puts you in the right frame of mind and keeps you in God's correct order. It filters your perspective. Being thankful repels covetousness. Being thankful protects you from pride and keeps you humble. As I contemplated this message this week, I heard on the radio, a radio preacher. He was talking about psychoanalysis and different tests that people were given to find out how a person felt about themselves. It was a secular survey, and they were trying to judge when and where and how to build self-confidence so that you could be bolstered up and improve your self-confidence. And they began the study with the mindset that self-confidence was essential to healthy, productive, normal living, and tested many different people groups. And they found there was one group consistently scored the highest on self-confidence tests. And they were amazed to find that the folks that scored the highest on self-confidence were those in prison and those on death row. I think it's good to be humble. God calls us to be humble for a reason. And let us be a thankful and humble people, and let us teach our children to be thankful. It's our job. Let's pray. The worship team can come and prepare to lead us this morning. Dear God, we are preparing to stand before you to bring you praise. God, help us to lay aside all of the weight of this week. Help us to be grateful, to be thankful to you with open hearts. Help us to connect again with who you are and how you love us. God, help us to be a grateful, thankful, humble people. God, I just pray for the many hearts that are here this morning, that they would be able to connect again to you and how great you love us, how great you love every individual that's here. God, it is because of your gracious spirit that brings us to our knees to be thankful. God, help us again to connect with who you are and how you love us. Help us to understand that what is ours is only really truly given to us. Help us to be thankful for what you have given us, whether it's our homes, our cars, our jobs, our wives, or our children. God, help us to be thankful. Help us to worship you with a full and open heart, that we could be a people that leaves here who is changed, who looks at your world a little differently, a people who truly are thankful. God, I believe that we would be different in the world when we can embrace truly the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God, help us. Help us to be thankful. God, help us to be able to speak the grace that you've given us. Help us to be able to speak of your mercy. Help us to be thankful and speak to others, especially, God, our children. Help us to communicate the many, many, many ways, God, that you've saved us. Help us to be gracious and thankful to others. God, it's a powerful thing. Help us to connect to that. Dear God, I just pray for the worship team that they would be able to lead us this morning into your throne room, that the worship would be sweet, and that you would smell a pleasing aroma of thanksgiving this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. At any time during the worship, the altar is open. You may come and kneel before God this morning in any way. If someone's sensing that you need to come and pray with a brother and sister, you may. But not everyone would have to come with someone that comes forward. Be sensitive to the Spirit this morning. If God has dealt with you specifically in a way that you need to be thankful, I would encourage you to come and bring that to the altar this morning. Brother Lowell.